The projections come from the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments and its defense budget fellow, Todd Harrison. They show that given historical trends of cost growth in personnel spending and O&M, those two budget categories will consume 86% of the DoD budget by 2021. That's the year that the spending caps imposed by the Budget Control Act expire. And Harrison says the news could be even worse. Over the last decade, those personnel and O&M costs have been growing even faster than their historical norms, 4.2% and 2.7% each year, respectively.
To scare you a little more, if the growth rates in both military personnel and O&M were at the higher rates that we saw over the past decade, together those two accounts would consume the entire defense budget by FY24. It's not that far in the future. So you would have no money left for procurement, for research and development, for military construction, for family housing, nothing. Currently, all of those other accounts, procurement, R&D, MILCON, family housing, they consume about 36% of the budget. So we're not on a good path here if we don't get these costs under control. So the bottom line is that DoD's got to address some of these major structural issues. They've got to bend these cost growth curves significantly.
DoD could have more flexibility in its spending plans in future years than it does in 2013. Under the Budget Control Act, there are firm top-line budget caps, but the punishing indiscriminate cuts of this year won't take place as long as Congress passes budgets that fit within those caps. However, the 2014 budget blueprints approved by the House and the Senate proposed DoD funding levels well above the cap, presuming that lawmakers will agree to cut the deficit in other ways and remove the caps entirely. The budget the White House will propose in the coming days will reportedly make the same presumption, funding DoD at higher levels. Harrison doesn't believe that's a wise bet.
How realistic do you think this is? That the budget would have taken a sudden drop in 2013 and then would suddenly rise back up in 2014? And somehow these budget caps would magically go away. It just doesn't seem very likely that that would happen. If you look back in defense spending, at least since the end of World War II, I cannot find a single instance where the defense budget has done something like this, where it has suddenly dropped roughly 10% in the base budget here, and then suddenly risen back up by that much in the following year. It just doesn't happen.
Harrison says it's time now for DoD to see the handwriting on the wall and start taking actions to reduce its structural cost growth so it can accommodate what he sees as inevitably lower future budgets. He pointed to three spending categories in particular: military personnel, infrastructure costs, and civilian personnel salaries. With regard to civilian personnel, the Pentagon already has more than it can afford in the current year, so it plans to furlough virtually all of them for approximately 14 workdays later this year.
But once we start the new fiscal year on October 1st, you've still got the same number of civilian personnel. You're back up to the full payroll level that you had. And if we're going to stay at these lower budget caps, that's not affordable. They're going to have to downsize the force. And so I think it's time that they start planning for a reduction in force. That is a process that takes some period of time. And so, you know, it's not the kind of thing that you could wait until October 1st in the new fiscal year to start planning for it. I think it's something they need to start planning for right now and make some smart, targeted reductions in the civilian workforce to get ahead of this curve.
DoD's civilian workforce has grown by about 100,000 people over the last decade, and Harrison estimates it would have to reduce its headcount by roughly that same number in order to bring its operation and maintenance budget in line with the current budget caps. The department is already undergoing a de facto civilian downsizing by virtue of a hiring freeze that's been in effect since earlier this year. But Harrison says that's a terrible way to trim the workforce.
The problem with a hiring freeze, and on top of that, a hiring freeze with a pay freeze, with a pay cut from the furloughs, these aren't targeted reductions across your force. It's self-selected reductions. And that's about the worst way you can downsize your workforce, is to put people through something painful and then see who leaves voluntarily. Because the people who are going to leave voluntarily, they are more likely to be people who are highly skilled, who can find other work more easily outside of government. Those are probably, they tend to be the people you want to keep. You know, the people you're going to be left with in the civilian workforce are going to be more people who, you know, they're at the higher end of the pay scale. They're closer to reaching their retirement point, so they don't want to lose their retirement benefits by leaving early. And they don't think that they have good prospects outside the department.
Harrison says the department should begin work now on reductions in force for 2014, a step that would likely cost money up front because of separation payments, but bring savings over the long term. For military personnel, Harrison's projections on the crowding out of the budget assume the DoD will not cut end strength any farther than it already plans to. But realistically, he says the military will have to shrink as well. But he says it's more important for it to take steps right away to begin to slow the trajectory of the year-over-year increases in the cost of military personnel. While the Pentagon has proposed ways to bring that cost growth under control, they were rejected by Congress. Harrison says that's because the proposals were politically too tough to swallow. They were all about cutting benefits, not designing a smarter, more cost-effective compensation system. He uses the example of TRICARE for Life, a supplemental Medicare benefit Congress created for military retirees. To pay for it, DoD has to set aside $5,500 every year for each service member.
In our study, we went out and surveyed people, even people who are almost guaranteed to get this benefit, because it only goes to retirees, people who serve 20 years or more, and only once they turn 65. Even if you look at those people who are virtually guaranteed to get this benefit, they still don't value it as much as $5,500 in cash. So why don't we give them cash instead of this benefit that they don't properly value? And actually, you could give them much less cash than $5,500, and you could pocket the difference. They're just as happy, and we've saved money. You know, so why are we wasting money on forms of compensation where we're not getting good value?
Another big contributor to DoD's operation and maintenance budget, its system of military bases. Last year, it asked for permission to undergo another round of base closures through the BRAC process, but there too, Congress said no. But Harrison says it still needs to happen.
By DoD's own estimates, they had, I think they said 24% excess capacity in facilities before the last round of base closures. The 2005 round of base closures reduced DoD's capacity by about 3%. So they still have 21% excess capacity in their bases and facilities. No business in America would be satisfied operating for a decade with 21% excess facilities. You would find a way to close those facilities and right-size yourself. The problem here, of course, is purely political.
But Harrison says DoD's base closure proposal last year was not serious, since it did not propose any funding to actually conduct the BRAC process. Harrison says ultimately DoD cannot do anything to reduce its structural cost drivers without Congress's approval. But he says the department needs to start making realistic proposals to Congress about how it will make reductions if the spending caps do stay in place.
Give Congress the plan. Show them, if we've got to take this level of cuts, here's a smart way we would do it. And we would address these things, and here's the force that would result from that. The capabilities, the size of the force that you would be able to afford, you know, not just this year, but projected out in the future, what you could afford under these budget caps if Congress gives you the flexibility to make major structural reforms. Then present an alternative to them. If you don't give us the flexibility to make these structural reforms, here's the best we can do, and it will be a smaller, less capable force. And let Congress, let them see the options. You know, make this a fair debate.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.